Joshua called 12 men to come wade in the water with me. They wrestled out 12 big old stones, a memorial to be. Well, one by one they stacked them stones before God's people's eyes, just to be a landmark on the shore after all of them died. After all of them died. Stacked them stones one on another, stacked them stones for all to see. Stacked them stones one on another, stacked them stones for you and me. For the children to see.
That's right. Stacked them stones. That's what we're doing here on the Old Paths broadcast. Stacking stones of truth, one on top of the other, one week at a time, one hour at a time. Truth upon truth. That's what God would have us do. Precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. This is Brother Brandon Teague coming to you from the studios here at Faith Baptist Church in Paris, Texas. It's good to be coming to you this Thursday evening, and it's been a rainy day today, and God sent the rain, and we thank God for it. And I'm telling you, there's a storm brewing on the forecast, and it's not on the forecast of any weather map. There's a storm brewing in America. Brother Brandon Teague, and I'm going to bring in my co-host, and he's coming to us from the great white north, not Canada, but close to it anyway, from Minnesota, from Northfield, Minnesota. My partner in the truth, Pastor Jason Cooley. Good to have you with me tonight, brother.
Amen, brother. Good to be here. It's been a nice day here today. I had some time to go outside and play with the kids and have a good time with them and get to the park and do some bike riding. So it was definitely a beautiful day out there today.
No snowmen today? No snowball fights?
No, you know what? Last week was the last I seen of the snow. It had all melted, and there was a little bit left in a parking lot last week, and that was it. We're done with it.
Well, amen. We've had 70 degrees and been storming. Had a lot of tornadoes down this way. Had some tornadoes down close to Dallas, and F4 tornado. But thank God we didn't get any of those things up our way. We just got a lot of thunder, a lot of lightning, but got a lot of rain. Some people said 5 inches. So we certainly got our share of rain, but I thank God for it. We can use the rain. But like I said, brother, we got a storm brewing, and it's not in the clouds. It's in our country. And we talked here last week on the program about the curse on America, that of shedding innocent blood, and had a good show last week. And as we talked about the show over the course of the weekend, brought us around to our subject matter. It's something you've preached on extensively here lately. And I want to tell our listeners out there that, if you'd like, you ought to go on to Sermon Audio. Is it www.sermonaudio.com, brother?
Yeah, sermonaudio.com. And then, you can go to type in Old Paths Baptist Church of Northfield, Minnesota, and you can find the link to those sermons there.
Okay, or you can even search by speaker and go to Jason Cooley and pull up all your sermons. But like I said, he's what we're going to do tonight will basically be a recap of what you've been preaching, but we want folks to get the message I'm going to say unapologetically that we're going to step on toes tonight, and that's fine. Those toes need to be stepped on. I used to have an elderly lady in our church years ago, and she used to tell me, brother, she said, you didn't stomp my toes this morning, you climbed my shins, and we're going to climb some shins tonight.
Amen, brother. We're certainly going to do that, I'm amazed, brother, that I have preached on a lot of things, as you know. I have preached on the 501c3 movement extensively. I have preached on tax-exempt status. I have preached on government tyranny. I have preached on repentance over and over again. I have preached on Baptist history. I have preached on the errors of fundamentalism. I have preached on sloppy evangelism. I've preached on the grace of God and the goodness of God. I've preached on a lot of topics. But I have never in all of that time had anybody like I've had this week tell me to back off of Hollywood, stop preaching on Hollywood, stop harping on it. They say, now, by the way, that's nobody in our church. The testimony of our church right now is the fact that last night I had another member of our church come up and say, "Here, Pastor, add this to the burn pile that we're all getting together and we're going to burn all these movies." And this person had a sack of movies, and she said, "I've got to get these out of my home. I don't want them any longer." And then I had pictures all week from people, members of our church, sending me pictures. Saying, hey, preacher, we're getting rid of these. We just want you to know that the Lord moved in our hearts during that message, and we see, we understand, and we don't want to be a part of this any longer. We don't want to be a part of this Hollywood anymore by being entertained by devils and actually pushing their agenda, which we're going to talk about sometime in the future. Probably won't get to all that tonight, but it's just they our church is seeing what I would call a spirit of revival there, of just cleansing themselves of iniquity and things that we don't need in our lives and that are sinful. And I was first, by the way. Last week I started studying this out extensively. I've been talking about it for a few weeks, but started to study it out, and the Lord really burdened my heart, and I went downstairs, and I don't watch movies. I don't have time for it. I mean, I just don't. But I went downstairs, and everything that was in my home that had to do with Hollywood, I loaded it up into a big trash bag and threw it all away. And we're going to shoot it or burn. We're going to shoot them or burn them out on the farm somewhere here in the next week or so. But they're all tied up and ready to go, and they're out of here. And
amen.
The Lord did that to me first, brother. And I seen that. Hey, listen. What do I need to be a part of any of this anymore? What in the world is the fascination with evil and wickedness? What's the fascination? But brother, I have had people on Facebook this week. I have had good friends on there, or friends that have been very upset with me about taking a stand against Hollywood and preaching against. I said, well, you don't have a problem when I preach against Obama's sins, and you don't have a problem when I preach against the government's sins. But how come when judgment must begin at the house of God and your little entertainment idol gets taken away, Micah, you have a problem with it?
Yeah, well, that's true. And I tell you something else. If you haven't already faced it, you're going to feel the wrath of grandma, because you take away them grandkids' little movies and that they promote and they buy for them. I'm telling you, you're going to feel the wrath. You're going to have those people telling you that you're a cult leader and those your church members are following a cult leader. And pretty soon y'all gonna move to Guyana and drink some Kool-Aid. I mean, I've already gone through it, and I'm sure you know it's coming.
Absolutely, brother. Anytime you take a stand for Jesus Christ, they lined them all up and they said, "These men are the men that turn the world upside down." Anytime you take a stand away from the wickedness of this world, and anytime you, one thing I've noticed about fundamentalists, which is very funny. I'm not a fundamentalist. I'm an historic Baptist, a principal Baptist.
Amen.
Let me say this. Anytime that you take a stand stronger than a fundamentalist does in some area, they're going to come after you. Now, if you live weaker and you live a little less like God than you should, or a little less like the Lord wants you to, they won't come after you. They'll leave you alone. They'll suffer your sin with you, and they'll be fine with it. But when you take a stand that's further than theirs, you're going to hear it.
Oh, yeah. You're a legalist.
Absolutely. That's the first charge that's made.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, I know. I've been called a cult leader. I can't tell you how many times by family members, extended family. Been very marginalized over the years. And you know, I want to make it plain to everybody listening out there tonight. I'm not the pastor of a large church, large congregation. And I understand that's the way it is. And I'll be satisfied if that's the way God wants to keep it. We're going to preach the gospel. We've been preaching the gospel here for a long time in this area. And we're not going to change our message for anybody. But, we had a lot of people come through these doors. We've had a lot of people pass through these halls and had a whole lot that couldn't stay because they did not want to turn loose of the world. And that's really, and it's not because, we didn't love them. It's not because we didn't preach the word of God, the gospel to them. It's not because the Spirit of God doesn't move here. It's not because the music is bad. It's not because the Sunday school teaching is bad. It's not because of, you know, it's terrible parking, anything. You know, it's not, they always kind of find an excuse, but the real truth of it is that when you preach against their pet sins, they're going to find somebody that won't.
That's right. That's exactly what's going to happen. You're always, somebody's going to be upset about that. Somebody's going to be upset with your stand for Jesus Christ. And for the most part, it's usually your brethren. It's usually, you know, lost people have more grace for you than saved people will. In areas I've found, which is rather interesting, but it's the way that it is. You know, it's funny because people talk about, they call a pastor that will follow the truth. Oh, he must be a cult leader. He must be this. He must be that. Well, no, listen, folks, when you're watching Hollywood movies, many of these people are demon, they're devil possessed. That's the Bible term, devil. The modern term is called demon possessed. They're demon possessed that these people are. And they don't, listen, these folks don't care about you. They just want to make money, and the more we promote their work and the more that we follow them, the more their agenda gets broadcasted live to everybody. I thought about this, brother, and I preached it the other day, and I know these are opening remarks here, and we're going to get to actually something solid to follow here in a second, but you know, I was thinking about it the other day, and I was like, you know, all these Hollywood stars, we'll stand there and we'll wag our hands at them, or you know, and we'll look at them and we'll shake our heads at them, and we'll point our fingers at them and say, boy, they're wicked. They're living like this. They're living like that. But how many of us are supporting their work? How many of us are allowing them to live this illustrious, this rich lifestyle of wickedness and paganism, and to promote that?
Well, amen. I can guarantee you it's a large percentage of the Christian population, if not most. I feel like, well, it's, you know, Facebook is such a fascinating tool because, it's mindless to me. It really is mindless to me. And I'm just going to give this case in point. I had a lady today, her son, I'm just going to give an example of how Facebook is so incriminating. Her son just went into rehab today. She found through his Facebook that he was dealing drugs, and she went and had him through a court order sent to rehab. People just put their life on Facebook, and I am Facebook. Facebook's a good tool for pastors to keep in touch, for pastors to keep in touch with missionaries and different things of that nature, and that's what I use it for, and for us to communicate things that we find out back and forth each other. But there are so many members of other churches that I have visited and been friends with and a part of, and those people, they've heard me preach, and so they friend me on Facebook. And so I've got all these friends, and maybe they're going to hear me tonight on this program, and if so, that's great. I hope you hear me, because they post on there the movies that they watch. They talk about them. They brag on them. They brag on the things that the sinful things that they do and promote. And, you know, it's right there for the world to see. And, you know, it's tragic. Absolutely.
There's no shame.
No, it's no shame at all.
Brothers, these are Christians. Listen, I'm talking about Christians that are out there preaching on Facebook and preaching things, and then they're posting satanic movies on there that they're watching. These magic movies, these movies full of, and they say, well, this is just fantasy. It's not real. No, it is real. There's a power coming from somewhere. Now, where is it coming from? Now, if we would get into the, I guess first, brother, I should, if you're finished with what you were saying, I don't want to interrupt you, brother, or change the thought.
Let me share this thought. You talk about fantasy, and I know we're going to get into that later, and probably next week do a whole show on that. But it spurred a memory within me. I remember probably 20 or 25 years ago, a part of my family, and I know they're not listening to the program tonight, I'm not going to call their name, but I have a part of my family, some cousins, and good little girls raised up, homeschooled their whole life. Their parents very much involved and active in church, but they were allowed to read the books of J.K. Rowling. Not J.K. Rowling. I'm sorry. Whoever wrote Lord of the Rings? Who wrote Lord of the Rings?
Tolkien.
Yeah, they were allowed to read those Tolkien books. And I remember them sitting at a table at a holiday, one of the holidays on Thanksgiving or Mother's Day or something of that nature. And these were young teenage girls, and I was in my 20s. And I, at the time, brother, I wasn't even living for God. God, I mean, I was backslidden. This is years before God dealt with me and really drug me kicking and screaming into his service, because I just simply had not yielded myself. I was a backslidden Christian. But I saw them drawing these pictures from these Tolkien books. And I looked at that and I said, you know, why are you drawing that? I said, you know, that's fantasy stuff. You know, it amazed me that they were involved in such a thing. And, oh, they just chided me. Oh, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just, oh, that's innocent stuff. That's just fantasy. There's nothing wrong with it. And, I mean, I got the third degree for even bringing it up. And now those girls' lives have turned, well, they're just not what they appeared to be. And, you know, they got sucked into the whole emergent church movement. They got sucked into thinking that U2 was a Christian band, you know. They get told all these lies. They start out believing lies, and they get sucked into more lies and more lies and more lies. You're programmed to receive lies.
No, that's right, brother. When you... You know, which is a good segue. What you just said is a good segue into what I was going to start with tonight and give people an idea, you know, the satanic roots of Hollywood, you know, where it comes from. I mean, the name itself, Hollywood, the name itself, witches used the Holly Wand, it was called, or the Wood of Holly for some of their spells that they did and things like that. Now, witchcraft is real. I had a guy on Facebook tell me today that he didn't believe witchcraft was real. I said, well, it is. And he said, well, where's your proof? I said, you are. You don't believe in it. You're acting like you don't believe it, but your rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft to God. And it's the exact same thing as that, and the satanic deception that is over you right now is proof that there is witchcraft.
Absolutely.
Now, one thing about witches that they use, that the Holly Wand was used for, the one thing that it was used to the spell to conjure up was a spell of sleep. It was used in sleeping spells. Now, these are real spells that actually work if you're a demon-possessed satanic person. They do work, and the most interesting thing was that with this spell, if you understand the way television works, when you watch television for 10 minutes, now this is not coming from an independent Baptist, this is coming from a scientist and a doctor, extensive studies. When you watch television for 10 minutes, your brain shuts down. The side of your brain that is the critical side, the critical thinking side, shuts off.
Right.
It
Wow.
shuts completely down, and everything is received right into your heart, brother. It goes, thine eye. Remember what the Bible said about your eye and your heart?
Mm-hmm.
Your eye to paraphrase, your eye is the gateway to the soul. It is what you put. I will set no unclean thing before mine eyes.
Right.
What the Bible says, and
yeah,
it talks
about
that.
That
because it goes into our hearts, that's why. It goes in. Now, with movies, when you watch, scientists have proven that when you watch movies, your brain shuts off after 10 minutes. Now, everything that comes in after that is not critically thought out. So when you and I are watching something on a Hollywood movie, and they put a scenario in front of us, you are like in a hypnotic trance. I have a whole sermon I preached on this last night. It's a little over an hour long. But it's called Hollywood Hypnosis. And if you understand that when you go into a trance, like if you were hypnotized, like when somebody goes in and hypnotizes you to quit smoking or something, and those that aren't saved go in and get hypnotized by people,
right.
their mind shuts down. The alpha waves, it shuts down so they can reach into your heart and they can pull out any information they need to, or they can insert information in there if they need to.
Well,
so
I remember... I remember when I was a kid, I mean, you know, I watched Rocky and, you know, I wanted to be a boxer. Or, you know, I watched Urban Cowboy and I wanted to go ride mechanical bulls. I remember being a kid and what an impression movies had on me. And,
I'm sorry, brother.
No, I was finished.
Brother, it's fascinating to me when you start to understand the science of this and what's really going on here. We've been duped by the devil. We've been fooled. We've been bamboozled by advertisers. We have been hypnotized by movie producers, by television programming. It's called programming for a reason, by the way. It is used. When this thing of movie theaters first started, or the theater, you should say, that's why it's called a movie theater, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
The theater was the beginning of this. When we go back to the first theater picture that was ever shown, or the first play that was ever done in history, we have to go back to the Egyptian texts. And we go back there to what's called the pyramid texts, and they date from 2800 to 2400 BC. It's amazing to me, brother. The first drama is called the Memphite drama. It's recounting the story of the death and the resurrection of the god Osiris and the coronation of his son Horus. Now, that is the first time ever that we have recorded, anyway, in history that we have records of, that a movie was shown or a theater play was shown or something, and it was that. Later on, as we move forward, by the way, that eye of Horus is interesting because it's all over Hollywood movies. There's a purpose. It's satanic. It goes
Absolutely.
Back to satanic roots. That's where it goes. But when you speed forward to Greece, who really modernized 2500 to 550 BC, they modernized, 1200 BC, they modernized the theater, and it was all about Bacchus. The cult god Dionysus, aka Bacchus. Okay, that's what the theater was about. But listen to what they wanted to do with that, brother. What they wanted to do, Dionysus helped people to ritualistically release pent up emotion. They were able to, during a celebration or a play of Dionysus, it was okay to scream or yell or cry or laugh and get all of these strong emotions out during a ceremony. It would curb the need to express those strong emotions later. You know how many times I've seen people get excited over a movie, over an action flick, over something like that, as opposed to the preaching and teaching of God's Word? They're silent
and
quiet.
Absolutely. And you know what? While you're talking, it's just my mind is flooded with different thoughts. You said Dionysus. Is that not where Dianetics comes from? Is that not where Scientology comes from, its concept?
Yeah, it is. It all comes from Satanism, right? It all stems from Aleister Crowley's Satanism way back in the day, and yeah, it's all intertwined.
Well, it all sounds to me like when you're talking about it drawing those emotions out of you, that sounds almost like what the Scientologists, when they get clear and they go in, they audit their personalities and they draw the negative emotions out of their personalities. And plus, we've got all these. You got Will Smith, you've got John Travolta, Tom Cruise, Nicole Kidman, Kirstie Alley, all these actors and actresses that are part of Scientology. And I mean, it's to me, it looks like it all ties together.
Amen. It does tie together, brother. It's all the satanic root, and it's just spread. It's a different flavor of the same tree, though, a different fruit, so to speak, or a different avenue to go down, but it's the same exact thing. They would get these people worked up so they would emotionally outcry. They would purge themselves of their emotions, and that was known as catharsis, or to be cathartic. And that's what they would do, and they would be able to when you watch a program with situation ethics in it and things like that, what it causes you to do is it enters into your heart, not your head. You don't discern that any longer. What you're doing is just accepting it into your heart. You're accepting that into your subconscious, and it's being received in there, and it's not being judged as right or wrong, because that part of your brain, that part of that of your brain is shut off. The critical part
right.
is shut off. It's asleep. It goes asleep. So what Aristotle called it was a metaphor for catharsis. He described it as the effects of a dramatic tragedy on the spectator by arousing vicarious pity and terror. Tragedy directs the spectator's own anxieties outward, and those systematic identification with a tragic protagonist purges them. That's what they're doing. you can see this. That's their whole game. That's the whole plan. If you watch a movie, I've asked people last night when I was preaching on this, brother, I asked them a question. I said, have you ever cried watching a movie? Have you ever cried? Yeah, right. I remember when I was a kid watching Old Yeller, it made me cry. You know, I remember
watching Steel Magnolias. I remember vividly being in the movie theater and crying whenever Julia Roberts' character died. And that was ancient years ago. But I remember that plain as day.
I'm sure glad that was a long time ago, brother, because you were scaring me there for a minute.
Amen. It was a long time ago. That was 1990-91. So that was way back before I surrendered to the ministry. But I do remember it. I remember sitting in a movie theater in Magnolia, Arkansas, with tears streaming down my face, trying to wipe tears away before anybody saw it.
Can I tell you why that happened?
Sure, tell me.
Let me tell you why that happened, brother. The reason why that happened is because, brother, let me ask you this. Let me give you another scenario along with what you just said. Let's say something tragic happens to one of your loved ones or your church members, and you sit down with them and they're crying. Do you start crying too many times as you're praying for them and you're weeping for them because of their distress?
Probably not as often as I have with watching a movie.
Okay, but it happens though.
Sure, absolutely.
Been through sorrow in your life before, and you've wept and you've cried.
Oh, absolutely.
Had a loved one die and you've wept and you've cried, right? Let me tell you why you did that. Your heart was tricked into believing that was real. Your heart mm-hmm. believes that what they saw in that movie was real. Just like if you and I were to have a tragedy happen of a loved one die and we wept, but we saw that, we wept the same way. Why? It's not real. Yeah, your head knows it's not real, but all of
right.
that has been entered into your heart, and your heart believes that it's real.
Right. Wow.
That's what advertisers know, brother. That's what they know, and that's what they do. That's what television and movies know. That's what Satan knows, the prince of the power of the air. He knows that's the way it works. He understands it.
And hence the title of tonight's show. The satanic deception of Hollywood.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We're gonna go to break here in just a minute, but before we do, I wanna throw the guest call in number out there. If you're out there listening to us and you'd like to call in, be a part of the show, maybe you want to call in and just tell us how sorry we are for railing against Hollywood tonight and exposing the truth, or maybe you want to call in and praise God a little bit about how you got victory over it. Want to give a testimony. The call-in number tonight, 646-915-9266. I'm going to say it slow again. Get your pen. Write this down. 646-915-9266. Again, we're talking tonight about the satanic deception of Hollywood. Brother Brandon Teague alongside Pastor Jason Cooley. And Brother Cooley has preached extensively on this subject, so I'm just kind of riding shotgun with him tonight as he explains all the research that he's done on this matter. And we're going to find out more and more as to why we are, as Christians, backsliding and becoming more in tune with the world than we are with God, because we're being deceived by the deceiver through the medium of Hollywood. And Brother, as we go to break tonight, we're gonna go to break tonight with a song by Daley and Vincent, a song called "By the Mark." Let's talk about the mark in his nail pierced hands, by the mark. So we're gonna see you back here right after the break on the Old Paths broadcast.
I will
Thankful tonight for those nail pierced hands. I'm thankful tonight for the fact that he died for me on that cross of Calvary. Thankful tonight to be born again and bought by the blood of my dear Savior Jesus Christ. That's why we're on here tonight. Yes, we're on here tonight railing against the devil, and we'll be doing that as often as we get a chance. But I tell you, the reason why we're doing it is because there's not enough battling going on. You know, Spurgeon, Charles Spurgeon, had a publication called Building and Battling, and there has to be a balance in the Christian life. You know, too many preachers, they say, oh, just preach the gospel. Just shut up and preach the gospel. Leave sin alone. Just preach the gospel. But that's out of balance. There has to, and don't you agree with me, Pastor Cooley, there has to be a balance between fighting the battle against sin and also building the kingdom of God through preaching the gospel.
Amen, brother. I mean, you've got to be, if you don't do both and if you don't battle, I mean, listen, Ephesians 6 talks about putting your armor on. There's a reason for that, because we are in the battle whether we're fighting or not. We're in the battle.
That's right. Amen. Yeah, you don't put your armor on to go to the picnic. You put your armor on to go down there and get bloody. And I ask viewers out there to pray for us. Because I'm telling you, you take on the devil, you take on his playground, you take on his world, and you get resistance. And so we ask for your prayers, for God to protect us and help us as we try to fight through the darkness of this world and shed the light of the Word of God. Give that call-in number one more time, 646-915-9266. And Brother Cooley, we've got a guest on the line, if I'm right, and why don't you tell us a little bit about the story? He's not a stranger to this program, but I'm gonna let you go ahead and introduce him.
All right, we've got Brother Tino Groby here from Wisconsin, and Tino has a ministry, a creation ministry that he does. You can catch his sermons also on our sermon audio page there for creation, and just gets into all kinds of different aspects of the King James Bible and creation, and so listen, if you need a good speaker, a good preacher on that, he'll definitely be the man for you to bring about some truth to you and teach you some good fundamental basics and some in-depth things on creation. But tonight his purpose to come on here is because Tino has a far reach when it comes to things in studies whether it's politics or whether it's winning souls or whatever the case may be. But tonight he's got an interesting story here on Hollywood. It's not a story in the sense that it's not true. It's actual, real life portrayal of what's going on in Hollywood right now. Brother Tino, why don't you explain to us what exactly you have to share with us about this?
Well, I'm sure. But first, I just wanted to mention, you talked about it a minute ago about the reaction you got to posting your sermons on Facebook, your Hollywood stuff. I am just still in shock at how people that I've known for a couple of years or several years as good, staunch Christians, how they handled that. I mean, I can't believe how many of them tried to defend Hollywood or deflect it by saying, well, you watch sports, so or something, and they're just not willing to admit that Hollywood is just full of garbage, including the stuff I watch. So, I'm not going to defend it just because something that I might watch now and then. It's full of New Age and perversion and all kind of garbage. And I'm still stunned at the reaction of so many, people that I would have thought, well, they probably still are good Christians in a lot of other areas, but it just blew my mind to see that. Because it's not like Jason Cooley never preaches on anything controversial. He does all the time. And doesn't get nearly as much flack as he did for preaching against Hollywood and Star Trek. I just couldn't believe it.
Amen, brother. But, Brother Tino was on there for the, I mean, he's been popping in and out of my posts and everything, and he was just as shocked as me, and I had Brother Ickes was like, man, I've never had a preacher tell another preacher what he should be preaching on like that. That's amazing to me how somebody would try to, Brother Ickes made a good point. He said, hey, listen, I got an idea for you. If you don't like him preaching on Hollywood, then why don't you go preach a sermon about him preaching on Hollywood then?
Amen.
Anyway, you go ahead, Brother Tino.
Well, the story I have is about somebody I know directly connected to Hollywood. Probably a lot of listeners probably know who Kevin Sorbo is. He's a well-known actor. He played Hercules in his original series. He played Captain Dylan Hunt in Gene Roddenberry's Andromeda, which is kind of a Star Trek spinoff. And he's had some guest appearances and other things. And since then has done several Christian-themed movies without a whole lot of support from the typical Hollywood crowd. He's kind of doing things more independent now, which is maybe that's why it's so much better than his old stuff. But anyway, his brother, Scott, and Scott's family used to be members of the same church as I am here in Oshkosh, Wildwood Baptist. And so we knew them for several years. And they're all originally from Minnesota, so Pastor Cooley probably can look them up and find out some stuff about them. They're all Vikings fans and stuff, so we had go-rounds about that. But and I've kept in some contact with Scott since they moved. They moved here from here several years ago. First they moved to Hawaii, then they came back to the States, Georgia or something like that. And in fact, Scott and I 1 year went on to a Bible conference down at Dr. Ruckman's church, probably 10 years ago or so. So, but he told me some stuff about his brother Kevin in Hollywood and the industry there, and Pastor Cooley's preached about the satanic roots of Hollywood and the how the devil has such control, and this is kind of a confirmation of that. Scott told me about how the homosexuals have almost total control of the industry, and maybe not absolute 100%, but pretty close to it. And so there's more or less a queer curtain in Hollywood that you have to get through. And Kevin was originally working as a male model and getting some success. But the higher you go up, the closer you get to that ceiling, and you literally can only get beyond a certain point if you are willing to submit to the queers and take that as literally as you want to, because that, I mean, that's what it means. I mean, they want something to hold over your head so they can control your career the rest of your life. And
right.
So I wouldn't trust anybody in Hollywood that's promoted by Hollywood, and you know, no matter how they might appear to be a conservative, or they might, you know, I still would have my suspicions that there might be, you never know. Because what happened to Kevin was he decided then to get, once he realized he wasn't going any further unless he went through them, he got out of male modeling and went into acting. Of course, they're controlled by mostly the same people, or at least the same general group. So eventually he's running into the same problem here. You don't go anywhere until you submit to them. And, you know, he didn't want to submit to them. But what happened was he did a pilot for his first Hercules series, and they wanted to present Hercules as a more human-like, because Hercules, of course, is half god, half man, because he's a result of Zeus fornicating with some human woman, and, you know, in mythology anyway. So they wanted to present a Hercules that had more of a human characteristic, where all the other Hercules shows and series and whatever tried to emphasize the god part of Hercules, because, you know, it makes sense that you'd want to emphasize, you know, here he is, you know, Superman, the god, you know, the son of Zeus. But the powers that be in Hollywood didn't think much of it. They didn't think it would be a success, because they tried to make a more human character out of Hercules than a god character. Well, it turns out they didn't stop and think the obvious thing. It's humans that watch TV. And they ended up liking Hercules being given more of a human perspective. And the episode, the pilot caught on and then was picked up as a series. It wasn't on one of the major networks ever, but it was picked up on the off networks and became a popular show. And it was kind of the same thing with Andromeda. The major networks didn't pick it up, but it still got on and became popular, and Kevin Sorbo became a popular actor. And so he kind of was able to skirt around. He made it on his own without having to go through the queer curtain, but it definitely exists. And for people to be upset at somebody like, you know, Pastor Cooley for preaching against Hollywood, I don't understand why you would be upset with them, because the queers control the industry. And it definitely, that, I mean, if you don't consider that evil and wicked and something to avoid, there's something wrong with you.
Right.
Hey, Ben, brother, and, you know, it's real interesting. Did you have something else? I don't want to interrupt you.
The only other thing
I
had was, I just was going to mention a few, you know, since then, Kevin Sorbo's done a few things, a couple of Christian movies. What If was kind of a Christian takeoff of Jimmy Stewart's It's a Wonderful Life. And he's done a couple pretty good movies since then. So I think he's going in the right direction. You know, I admittedly, I used to watch Hercules and Andromeda because he was in it and because I knew his brother and, you know, and all. But I'm not going to defend those and say that there was nothing bad in those shows just because I watched them. There's still New Age and humanism and, you know, all that kind of stuff in those things.
Yeah, it's very interesting, brother. I have a lot of respect for someone who can say, you know, listen, I have watched some of this stuff, but it is bad, you know, but then when somebody tries to defend the sin, it really bothers me to that point. I'm thinking, wait a minute, now don't defend the sin. Just say, hey, listen, I fell in these areas, or I've slipped up in these areas. I haven't followed God like I should in some of these areas. But to try to preach that it's okay and to say back off of it, it's not that big of a deal, is sad. It's a sad testimony.
Right, and I'm going to tell you, it's so sad because we're not talking about the liberal side of, say, the Southern Baptist Convention, those type people. The people I think you're describing more than likely are people that would consider themselves you know, independent Baptist. Mm-hmm. You're talking, and that's who I'm, you know, and you know as well as I do that down through the years, that the independent Baptists have been the ones who've been the most separated. We've been the ones who were the most off to the right and careful not to walk according to the ways of this world and according to the prince of the power of the air. We've been careful to stay away from those, from the darkness. But, you know, I'm finding more and more that when you really get down to it and you pull back the covers and you turn on the lights, you find there's a lot of roaches everywhere.
Amen, brother. You know, every Hollywood is a vice. Television, I don't care who you are, everyone that has owned a television before or has had movies before has been affected negatively by movies. They have been touched by them. When we understand the science of it, the fact that your brain, like I said, the your brain shuts down, the part of your brain goes to sleep that discerns things, then we have to understand that all of that stuff has been entered into our subconscious then. All that has went into our heart without being filtered through the proper channels that God has given you is to discern things, your mind and what God has given you. And then obviously when someone is saved, that's, you know, they have the Holy Ghost in them, but they're feeding their flesh constantly with Hollywood.
Amen. That's absolutely right. And, you know, I mean, there's so many different directions we can go with this. We can certainly look in the direction of, you know, the occult and its role in these movies, or we can look at the facet of it which is Gnosticism, which is, you know, teaching that God is evil and the forces of evil defeat God, and that's so prevalent in so many different films. I mean, there's so many different ways we can look at this. I'm not really sure which direction you want to take us, Brother Cooley, but you steer the ship and we'll paddle.
Well, Brother Tino, you have time to stick around or you've got to go?
Well, unless you got something particular, I probably should get back out with the family for the rest of the evening.
Sounds good, brother. Well, thank you for coming on and sharing that with us. I appreciate that.
Yeah, thanks, Brother Tino.
Before I go, I just wanted to make one more comment about the reaction that people had to stuff you posted. It just, the one guy that said that he'd watched every episode of Star Trek two or three times and never saw the humanism and evolution and New Age stuff in it. I mean, how could anybody with an IQ above a turnip not see that stuff after watching it a couple times? He had to be deceiving himself.
Well, absolutely, brother, and we'll make a lot of excuses for ourselves in different areas of sin in our lives, and I understand that, but to be dishonest and to say, well, I've never seen any of those things before and in these movies, I mean, good night, I could watch one episode of Star Trek and I could show you the humanism, the evolution, I could show you the Captain Kirk making out with a green woman half the time and things like that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Spock with no emotions. I mean, there's so much symbolism in those shows. So much symbolism.
And the thing that we have to understand, too, about Gene Roddenberry is Gene Roddenberry, he's a mocker of God. I mean, he's just a straight-out mocker of God, and he is pushing a New Age religion is what he's pushing. And it's done that. There's the cult of Star Trek out there. It's unbelievable.
Oh yeah,
and he admits openly that he's doing that. So how
yes.
could a Christian not believe it when the guy that creates the show says he's trying to take you to the New Age?
Amen. That's exactly true, brother. I don't know how people can deny it, but I will tell you one thing. Here's the reason why. If you notice, most people today, even Christians, many Christians. Brothers, they walk around like complete zombies half the time to things. We don't notice our surroundings, what's going on around us, and things like that. Now, part of that is because we are so dumbed down by television and movies all the time that watching that stuff all the time and filling your head and your heart with that stuff constantly, it just dumbs you down.
It does. It's like I was saying on a previous show, you know, the comparison between 1950s television and, you know, the television of today, where you had one camera on one scene for a long period of time, and today where you have, you know, just a click, 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 you know, a thousand images a second, never allowing the mind to rest, and it gets us in that mindset where we just absolutely, we're so frustrated if things don't move quickly. And you mentioned in the phone call earlier, Pastor Joy Faust preached a really good message, and in that message he was talking about, you know, when you let your children watch those movies and you let them watch those TV shows and you set them and you let them play those video games, then you set them down with a Bible. Well, that Bible doesn't flash and it doesn't jump. It doesn't move. Words don't move around. They don't talk to them. It's boring to them.
Right, and that's why we have to control the amount that you allow that stuff to come into your home and what you do with it, because it has an effect on your children. You know, my goal with all this is not to say, hey, I'm going to get everybody in the world to throw away their television and do this. They got to do what God leads them to do. You know, we've got to be led by the Spirit of God in what we do. However, what I want to do is present you with the factual information on this so you can say, listen, when I sit down and watch television, 1,800 pictures a minute, 40,000 pictures in a half-hour show come towards me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, your mind is not reasoning any of those things out. I can prove that, and I will over the next hour here when we start to talk about a little bit about the content and more. You know, I would like to take it also in the direction that next hour of talking about some of the other areas, that the satanic roots, some of the actors, how they were devil-possessed, and they admitted they were devil-possessed.
Absolutely. I think that's a good way to go. I definitely do. And, you know, I've been doing my own research just in the last few days since we talked about doing this show. And, you know, I've done some research and just kind of looking at these different movies that were presented. Actually, there's a good video out there, you and I have talked about it, and I, right now, at the top of my head, I can't call the name of the film, but it's put out by a non-denominational preacher. I know he doesn't have the right Bible, but he has the right message. He's trying to point out to Christians that Satan is deceiving them with Hollywood. And, you know, I pray the guy gets the right Bible, you know, and gets in the right church, but that's not going to change the fact that he's dead on with his message. And I can't even think what it's called right now, but it points out all these different movies and how they're all preaching the very same message, and that is the message that God is evil and that Satan is good, that evil is good.
Yeah, that's right, brother. That's the message that is preached. We're going to get into that a little bit. I want to segue the next hour and just talk just a little bit about that as far as the messages that are received and that Hollywood teaches a little bit, and not go too overboard in the content, but then switch over to actual these people admitting that they were devil-possessed and that they sought familiar spirits and mediums and everything. They were mediums and everything else.
Okay. Well, that'll be great, brother. Let me ask you this. What got you headed in this direction? I know you said at the first of the program that, you know, you gathered all those movies and things up, but what led you in this direction?
Honestly, brother, about 3 or 4 months ago, I started preaching and studying the spirit world. Just the demonic forces that are out there, the devilish forces that are out there, started in the Old Testament with the sons of God, the daughters of men, understanding, that there is a spirit world out there that we're to put our armor on in Ephesians 6, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against, you know, the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And I started to, and God just kind of led me down this path. And Hollywood just kind of got in my sights about 2 weeks ago, and the Lord just laid it on my heart. It's time to just expose this for what it is. It's a bunch of garbage from the pit of hell, and it needs to be outed. And listen, if someone gets their feelings hurt because the truth is brought to them, I pray that it's a sorrow under God, a godly sorrow that worketh repentance, not to be repented of. I pray that it's a sorrow that brings about repentance in your life. Because listen, folks, when we talk about a little bit of the of what you've allowed into your heart, and I've allowed into my heart in the next segment, you're gonna kind of understand exactly why I'm so I'm on this so much because mine eye affecteth my heart, brother.
Mm-hmm. Amen. That is absolutely right. And we're going to get into that in the next segment. Well, we got about 4 minutes. 4 minutes. You got anything else you want to throw on this side of the side of the break?
Amen, brother. Well, in fact, I've got 4 minutes. I'll just talk a little bit about this, and we'll catch it over on the next hour, too, as well. But the one thing that we have to understand with all this is that Satan understands how your brain shuts down, part of your brain shuts down. He knows how that works. Now, what's happening is that you and I are watching things on television, on movies. We're watching scenarios that we don't even agree with. We
right.
don't agree. Brother, you and I preach that a man should not touch a woman. It's not good for a man to touch a woman except he's married, correct?
Right.
Now, why in the world would you and I sit down or our family sit down and watch people that are not married kissing and hugging and all of those things that I know people watch worse than that out there, Baptists watch way worse than that out there, why would we put those unclean things before our eyes? What are we telling our children? You see, our children and us ourselves, our hearts believe that that is really happening in front of us.
Right.
Well, why? Well, when you told me earlier that you watched a movie and it made you cry, and I watched a movie and it made me cry, why? It's not real. Yeah, but your heart didn't know it wasn't real. So you're accepting fornication, wickedness. There's a plot that goes on with this, brother. There's a design of Satan in this that he creates a scenario. He gives you what the Greeks call the protagonist. That's a main actor that's a hero in the story.
Mm-hmm.
And in every movie, there's a hero. And you follow that hero through as he does some great things. Well, then all of a sudden this hero robs a bank because he needs money. So he does situation ethics, and everybody's against him, so he has to rob a bank. All right? Now
right.
our emotions have already attached to this man as a good guy. But when
right.
we found out he robbed a bank, it doesn't bother us that much anymore. Well, he had to. Why? Well, he was in a tough situation. See, that situation ethics.
Right.
And we've received that, and we're teaching our children that as they watch those programs.
That's absolutely true. Absolutely true. Now, I see exactly what you're saying, and we have. I can even remember watching Bewitched, and I'm sure you may be a little bit young. You watched Bewitched. And,
absolutely.
The woman's name, her mother's name was Endora, which, is a direct reference to the Old Testament, the Witch of Endora. And the Witch of Endor, rather, and she's named after the Witch of Endor that Saul went to try to conjure up Samuel, and we agreed with witchcraft in watching that, and we didn't think it was anything about it because it was cute.
It's just fantasy, brother. It's just fantasy. That's what all the Baptists will tell you today, or the fundamentalists will tell you. It's just fantasy. That's all this. No, it's not. It's witchcraft.
Absolutely. Absolutely witchcraft. The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. That was told to me to be, it's Christian-based. It has a Christian theme in it. And all that stuff gets sold to us, and we buy into it. Or I used to buy into it. I don't buy into it anymore. I'm one of those people that, people say, well, you're a liberal because you have a TV. Well, I can control my TV. And I was actually today, my daughter, my wife had let my daughter, let her watch one of her recorded programs. And, I was in the other room working, and I could hear, they said, those are dinosaur bones. And I immediately, my ears perked up. And they said, those are 1 million years old. They could even be 2 million years old. I said, turn it off. It's teaching you something that the Bible doesn't teach. It's teaching you evolution. And immediately we turned it off. But it's everywhere. It's everywhere around us. Everywhere around us. Brother, we're going to go to break. And we'll come on the other side of the break. We'll come back and we'll talk some more looking forward to it. We're going to go to break. We've got a song by a bluegrass group called the Grascals. It's actually an old Negro spiritual that they've taken and done. It's called Give Me Jesus. And it's the Grascals. And we'll be back on the other side of the break on the Old Paths broadcast. Give me Jesus. I love that song. You know, I love that last, I love the last line of that song. When I come to die, give me Jesus. He said, you can have this whole world. And that's what we're talking about. You know, brother, I know we didn't hear that song because we were break, but, you know, that song, it says, you know, it says, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. When I am alone, give me Jesus. When I come to die, give me Jesus. You can have this whole world, but give me Jesus. And that's really what it comes down to. You're either going to have this world or you're going to have Jesus. It's one of the two. And that's why the Bible tells us, come out from among them and be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you and be a father unto you. Listen, there's a reason why that's in the Word of God. And we're talking about coming out from among the Hollywood crowd, the hellish Hollywood crowd that is, they are worshipers of Satanism. And I know you did quite a bit of research on that fact, that so many of the Hollywood actors of the golden age that are held up to be, you know, just almost, they've almost achieved sainthood in most people's eyes, because they're from the glamorous period of Hollywood. A lot of them were into some very nefarious activities. Am I right?
Amen, brother. They were. And just a simple reminder from the Word of God in Leviticus chapter 19, verse number 31. Regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. And the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits and have after wizards, to go a-whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. Sanctify yourselves, therefore, be holy, for I am the Lord your God. God is very clear that we're not to have anything to do with necromancing, with familiar spirits. Saul went to see the witch of Endor, like you talked about that in Dora mm-hmm. earlier. Saul went to go see that witch that had a familiar spirit. There was a woman with a familiar spirit that followed around Paul and was mocking the word of God to Paul, and Paul finally dealt with it and cast the devil out. God hates that. God hates those familiar spirits. They're fallen. I believe they're fallen angels. Or, I mean, I believe they're the sons of the giants now. Are the giants actually without the disembodied spirits? There's a little bit of difference there. Some people say they're fallen angels. Some people say that they're not sure what they are. And it's not something I'm willing to argue. All I know is they are satanic spirits.
Right.
They're of the devil. They're in the spirit world, and these actors that were in Hollywood, they thrived on getting a hold of these spirits to help them be actors. That there's a series out there that you and I talked about. They sold their soul for rock and roll, and
right.
they sold their soul for Hollywood, and all of those things. And listen, folks, there are people that have done that. These movie stars. There's a reason why they can make you cry. There's a reason why at a drop of a hat they can have you bawling and things like that. There's a reason why they can do their craft so well.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, I was going to mention the title of that DVD, if our listeners want to look it up. I believe you can probably watch most of it through YouTube. The title of that DVD is Hollywood's War on God. And I can't remember the website. I think it's The Good Fight. If you can type in The Good Fight, I believe that is how you find that website. But and there's clips you can watch. They have a theater there and a video player. You can watch those clips from that movie, Hollywood's War on God. But I wanted to make a comment too about these familiar spirits. And you know, a lot of people they that are ignorant. I say they're ignorant, and I don't mean they're stupid. I mean they just don't understand. There's a lot of people that are ignorant of the spirit world, and they think, oh, you're just talking a bunch of spooky stuff, and we don't talk about that. But you need to understand that stuff's real. That stuff's very real. There's a reason why a person can go to a palm reader, they can go to a psychic and sit down and have the person. I mean, there's a television show right now on one of the networks, and I think it's called, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's called Long Island Medium. And it's I saw a commercial on it. There's a woman, she's from New Jersey, Long Island somewhere, and she goes around talking to people and letting them know what their dead relatives have to say, this, that, and the other. And there years ago, there was a man, I think his name was John Edwards. There's a lady, she's been on all the talk shows. I think Sophia Brown, I think that's her name. I'm not mistaken. Maybe I'm not right on that. But there's a reason why these people are able to do what they do. It is real. The spirit world is real. But I want people to understand they are not talking to those dead relatives. These seances. I had a teacher who told me when he was in the Marine Corps that he went into a seance, and he described it to me what happened back when he was a young man. But I want to tell you that there's a reason, Brother Cooley. I think you know this. But there's a reason why these things occur, and people are able to tell people things. That is because these people who are mediums, they are literally controlled or possessed by an evil spirit. And we live in the physical realm, but there is a spiritual realm all around us all the time. And God protected us from that. God gave us he didn't give us eyes to be able to see that spiritual realm where, you know, was it Elisha who opened who asked God to open his servant's eyes, and he saw this spiritual battle going on around him? Am I correct on that? Was it Elisha?
Yes, the prophet, okay. He said open his eyes up to his servant, the Lord to open the eyes up to the servant so he could see that everything around him.
Right, there was a spiritual battle going on. So there's this spiritual world that goes on around us all the time, and there are these I believe they're fallen angels. I believe they're fallen angels that fell with Satan. I don't believe all of them are in chains, but there are many who are walking around in this world, and they're doing the deeds of their father, the devil, and the one they followed. And so the one who's being controlled, the medium, she's not communicating with the dead. What's happening is the spirit that controls her is communicating with a evil spirit that watched your loved one while they were alive in this world, and they are giving them information, And so that information is coming back to them, and that stuff's going on behind the scenes in the spirit world, and it causes many people to believe that there's something really good and benevolent about spiritual mediums.
That's right, brother. And Hollywood was just riddled with it. It was just take Marilyn Monroe, for instance. She said this: Jekyll and Hyde, more than two. I'm so many people. They shock me sometimes. I wish it was just me.
Hmm. Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah.
She's looked at as almost angelic.
Right, to the Hollywood crowd. She is like this amazing person. Now, you know, when Clark Gable died, she consulted a spirit medium, Kenny King. I believe his name was Kenny Kingston is his name. She consulted him and asked him if he would bring up the spirit of Clark Gable, because she thought Clark Gable was mad at her because while they were doing that movie, he died. And he did. He held a seance. And he called her forth, and she came, and he called the spirit forth, and the spirit said, "Oh, I'm not mad at you." And Marilyn Monroe consulted devils.
Mm-hmm.
She consulted them. Go ahead, brother.
Now, I do know that Jane Mansfield, I have heard Jane Mansfield was very... She was actually a high priestess in the Church of Satan in San Francisco, California, and I've seen pictures of her drinking blood, and she's very tight, closely tied to Anton LaVey, who was the high priest of the Church of Satan. Was Marilyn Monroe as well? Was she connected with the Church of Satan in any way?
Well, she it is reported that Anton LaVey has said that he had a relationship with Marilyn Monroe when she first kind of came on the scene or whatever, after a few years, that he had a personal relationship with her, a very intimate relationship with her. In fact, Satanist Anton LaVey, the high priest of the satanic of the Church of Satan, said also that and there's pictures all over the internet of him and Sammy Davis Jr. as well. Sammy Davis Jr. was a Satanist, and they're seen together, and they're proud of this. They're not sad about this. They're very proud of it.
Well, they had a common interest, because Anton LaVey was a nightclub singer before he became the high priest of the Church of Satan.
Unbelievable, brother, the depths of wickedness that is involved with this, and how many stars. James Dean was another star. He was a movie star that he actually went to a hotel. One of the stories about James Dean is that he actually went to a hotel one time, and he wanted to bring up the spirit of a woman that was there at the time, and that had died in that hotel room, or that had visited that hotel room and died there. And she was a Hollywood actress, and he wanted to bring that spirit up. So that's exactly what he did. He went in there, and he said, and he slept in that room, and he called forth this spirit of this actress. He fully admitted that he was possessed with devils. He bragged about it. He bragged about not believing in God. He bragged about not having anything to do with God, and saying that God wasn't real, and there's God in everybody and things like that.
Right. That's back to that, you know, that Gnosticism and that spirit that's, you know, prevalent in Hollywood. You know, again, it all goes back to Aleister Crowley for the most part. And I've taught this so many times from my pulpit. But and I know you know this very well, but you know, he coined the very popular phrase, which is one of the satanic proverbs in the actual satanic Bible, which was, and it's the number one proverb of the Satanist, and that is, "Do as thou wilt shall be the whole of the law." In other words, do what you want to do. And isn't that what Hollywood teaches?
Absolutely. There are no boundaries with Hollywood. It's a satanic principle. Out of chaos comes order. And do what thou wilt. Whatever you want to do, just do it. It's right in front of you. That's what James Dean, his whole his whole movie genre era was about, it is said that he influenced people so greatly that they bought the same jeans he wore, they walked the same walk he did, they were interested in the same things he was interested in. It was an absolute cult following that they followed. His rebellion to the father in the movies that he did was how other people felt and wanted to be that rebellious as well.
Yeah, I've even read that his you know, his rebelliousness, it even shocked, was it James Backus, who played Thurston Howell III on Gilligan's Island? He starred in the movie with him, and he was taken aback by the rebelliousness that he brought into the movie theater.
Absolutely, because he fundamentally changed America is what he did, because this stuff was, everybody was going to the theater at that time. Everybody was involved with that. I mean, the young people from the young city, now there were preachers that stood up and they preached against the wickedness. They said, no, this cannot be, you know, you can't do this.
Hollywood had a kind of a squeaky clean image up until that point.
Right. It was very subtle, but I remember sermons by J. Frank Norris, called Leave, instead of Leave It to Beaver, it was called Leave Beaver. And it was about shutting off your television, don't watch that stuff, because it taught it was the first TV show that really taught the feminization of men. I mean, they made Ward Cleaver look like he was just a pansy whipped little man that went out and just played golf a little bit and crossed his legs like a woman, and if he got too angry and too excited about something, the mom had to come in there and
fix
she'd it.
She'd say, now Ward.
Right, exactly.
Hey, you know, that's just mind-blowing stuff when you think about it, that, you know, that ought to show people just how far we've slipped. When we used to have preachers who would rail against Leave It to Beaver, and now look where we've gone.
Amen, brother. We've gone way over the edge. But, you know, let me give you a surprising one. Can I give you an actor?
Sure.
Or a director that would shock most people?
Go for it.
You know, I want to talk to you about Little House on the Prairie and Michael Landon. I think this one was the biggest shock to me that I had ever really come across.
Not touched by an angel. Surely there's nothing wrong with that.
Well, Michael Landon...
sarcastically, I thought.
Right. Michael Landon was the man that produced and wrote all the scripts for Little House on the Prairie. He wrote them for Highway to Heaven and all of those shows. And, you know, Michael Landon... he talked about a lot of things. In fact, he even admitted that he got most of his teachings from his father. Listen to what he says. He said the Spirit landed on him and communicated with him directly, and it inspired his talent. He said, and I quote, "I felt my father's presence with me, enlightening my memories, helping me to commit to paper the feelings I had. I really heard my father speaking to me from the other dimension, filling my mind with just the right words. The story came so fast and was so right, in 3 days the script was complete."
Hmm.
He's telling you that devils told him what to write. A devil told him what to write. He was basically, you and I, when we watched that television show, we were actually entertained by devils. You say, that's a pretty good show, isn't it? Well, yeah, it showed some morality, but morality doesn't cut it in this life. God expects holiness, and holiness lasts forever. It lasts eternally. Where morality, it doesn't last that long. It's fleeting. It's a humanistic principle from that standpoint.
Sure.
But listen, Michael Landon talked about hearing demonic voices and hearing his father would give him all the scripts. His father from beyond the dead would give him all the scripts that he ever needed. He would actually talk to him. But listen to how Michael.
Father.
What's that, brother?
I said it wasn't his father. We know that.
No, it was a devil. It was a devil.
Absolutely.
That was giving him everything. Listen, the spirits are the false. Try the spirits. For there are many false prophets that have went out. There are many false spirits that have went out. There are devils out there that do nothing but deceive. The Bible talks about even a lying spirit came before God, and God said, okay, fine, I'll send you. You're a lying spirit. You'll go lie to him.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that story?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, listen how Michael Landon died. He raised his fist and clawed at the air. I heard him mumbling, no, Not yet, he said clearly. I'm not ready. No, I don't want to go. The nurse told us Dad had spent the night raising his hands and pawing at the air as though he was trying to keep something away.
I bet he was.
He was slipping off into a Christless eternity, going to burn in hell for all of eternity, rejected the Bible, rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. Michael Landon's own testimony is, oh, I tried to see God in everybody. Well, that's pantheism is all that
right.
is. I tried to see God. There's a God in everybody. No, there's not. That's satanic. That's a satanic principle is what it is.
Right.
And it was one that was taught. It was one that Michael Landon taught. You take one of the most, you know, seemingly harmless shows and understand that this man was devil-possessed. And, you know, it's interesting to me. I happen to remember when they used to show that program. You know, they used to show that program on Sundays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's on all these, you know, these family networks. And, you know, it's, I mean, it was promoted as a religious program.
Right, it was. It was promoted, and it was done on Sunday evenings. They would show it when mm-hmm. when they knew fundamental Christians would be, more than likely be in church on Sunday. They would show it at times. Oh, this will replace your Sunday sermon. You know, this will replace that. We'll show something that we perceive as moral on Sunday.
Right. That's right.
When you see these, and you understand, Gene Roddenberry is another one. When you understand. Listen to what Gene Roddenberry, you know, many people have said about even Gene Roddenberry's work. One of Richard Dreyfuss said this, you want to know what going to a movie is all about? It's a religious experience. Surrender to it. It's great.
Wow. And that's exactly what you do. I mean, and by the way, you know, if you think you got criticized for picking on Star Trek, you've taken on Little Joe now, so expect some criticism over that.
I know it. Michael Landon had a devil inside of him, and that's why he was such a good actor, and his scenes could make you cry like it was nothing, because it was tricking, devils were tricking your heart into believing that was real, going right to your subconscious, going right there. And I realize that this sounds crazy to people, but I don't care. I'm going to follow the word of God and all that stuff and rebuke that stuff in the name of Jesus Christ, and if nobody wants to be around me because of it, so be it. I'll have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ then.
Amen. Praise God. Well, I stand with you, brother, 100%. And you were talking about how that stuff takes hold of you, how it changes you. I personally don't go to movies. I don't have any use for movies. I quit watching movies a long time ago, but I remember the impact. You talk about Star Trek. I remember the impact that Star Wars had on me. I remember, you know, just the absolute escape from reality that Star Wars was. And, you know, and it taught that message that, you know, that God is impersonal, that God is simply a force, and it's Taoism, that it's the yin and the yang, that God has a dark side and he has a light side, and there's a little bit of evil in the goodness, and there's a little bit of good in the evil. And, you know, it totally teaches that. And, go ahead.
Yes, it does, brother. That's exactly what it teaches. Listen, you know this Gene Roddenberry, the creator, you mentioned Star Trek, and we've talked about it a little bit. Listen to what he said. He said it's kind of an interdependence in which the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. I think this will form a new species, a human collective. I think we may be headed that way. It seems to be a natural consequence of evolution. He said this, akin to occult and satanic teachings, Roddenberry, he suggested this. He said, he suggests that we are all gods when asked. So basically what you're saying is that I'm a god? He replied, certainly, we both are. But as he points out, this is opposed to the biblical truths and in line with mysticism, which he sought to disguise through the characters and stories on his shows. He said this, it's not the Judeo-Christian God. That was a leap of faith. Creating Star Trek was a very spiritual experience. In that definition, it really is a life beyond this one. It's my world. Perhaps it's that divinity in us that we call God.
Hmm. Well, yeah, they just teach. They teach that man is his own God. Absolutely. That's And of course, when a man is his own God, he has no moral compass. He has no moral absolutes, and it's anything goes. And in that world, God has to be portrayed as evil. The God of the Bible has to be portrayed as evil, and man has to overcome the prejudices that have been pushed upon man because of the God of the Bible.
That's right, brother. It's interesting. The one brother that said today, or one day on Facebook, said, "Well, I've never seen anything like that in Star Trek." Let me quote you a little bit of this real quick here, brother.
Okay.
Captain Kirk said this, "Cosmic thoughts, gentlemen." Bones McCoy replies, "We came speculating. Is God really out there?" Captain Kirk says, "Maybe he's not out there, Bones. Maybe he's right here," pointing to his chest, "the human heart." What he's saying is that your God, your heart is God, and your will and who you are is God. He says this, and Gene Roddenberry then goes on to say this. What happens is that I bring them out into this world, the world of humanity, and they take their place among them. He's talking about the characters among us. But I don't think I create them. They already exist. I just introduce them. That's really where the whole idea of Star Trek came from. I'm just a vehicle, a transporter. So what he's saying is, brother, is that devils have taught him this. He's just the medium. He's just the transporter of it all. But devils, they're already here. Those creatures, those things are already there. He just brings them out.
Right. It's no different. It's no different than rock and roll or anything else. And of course, I think we're going to get on that rock and roll in a few shows maybe from now. I remember hearing an interview with Angus Young, the guitar player of AC/DC, and how he talked about how something came into him and it wasn't him playing the notes anymore, that it was a spirit within him that played. I heard Jimi Hendrix talking about how he had a devil in him, and it controlled him. And when he got on stage, and even Beyoncé Knowles, who did the halftime show at the Super Bowl, she has her alter ego, Sasha Fierce, that takes control of her body, and it allows her to do all the things that she does. It's the very same story, except that it's actors rather than musical performers.
Amen, brother. That's exactly what it is. I mean, these guys are not shy about their interaction with Satanism. Gene Roddenberry admitted to receiving the basis of his own shows through psychic intervention and explanation. Anton LaVey and Aleister Crowley both spoke of a group of demonic entities collectively called the Nine. Crowley wrote, "I serve my guest master, great master Satan, and the August Council of Nine." Now, Roddenberry wrote a script for an entire summer under the influence of a psychic entitled The Nine, about a group of aliens who would invade the earth and establish a new kingdom, which reverberates with the scriptural prophecies about the Antichrist and his new kingdom under Satan and his fallen angelic alien beings.
Amen. Brother, we got to go to break. We got one more break to get through, and then we're going to finish up on the other side. This show on the satanic deception of Hollywood, and brother, there's just so much we can cover. There's so much to look at and examine, and I really hope tonight we're helping somebody. I know we may be upsetting some people, and that's fine. Sometimes surgery never feels good. When you're cutting something out, there's pain involved. There's soreness. But that's what we're trying to do tonight. We're trying to simply identify the cancer that exists in the life of believers today, and let the Holy Spirit do the surgery in your life and remove your desire for these things. You're going to have to go to God. He's the great physician. He's the only one that you're going to be able to go to and ask to remove your desire for these hellish things. And we're gonna talk some more about it on the other side of the break. One more time, the call in number 646-915-9266. And one last song. And brother, I don't know if you know this one or not, but this is one called "I Want to Die on the Battlefield," and that's what we're talking about. This is a battlefield. It's a spiritual battlefield. And this is one from a man named Doug Ramage. "I Want to Die on the Battlefield" on the Old Paths broadcast. Well, we're trying to get to it. We'll get to it here in just a minute. You still with me, Pastor?
I'm here, brother. I was going to say, you know how much I like to talk. I'll just keep going all the way through it.
Well, we're waiting on our producer. So I don't know if we're having technical problems, but as soon as we hear the music, we'll get out of the way.
Well, that's all right, brother. This thing of sci-fi and fantasy, it's amazing to me how people are they're so amazed by it. But then you try to sit down and explain to Bible believers about the sons of God and the daughters of men and the spiritual world that's out there and how it's working and how it's deceiving people and how Hollywood is the medium or the tool. Hollywood is a church, and its evangelists go out every week, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and preach a message.
Amen. That's right. We got it now, brother. Here we go. I Want to Die on the Battlefield, Doug Ramage.
One day, as I was thinking of unseen things above, this gospel trust.
And we're back on the Old Paths broadcast. Brother Brandon Teague, along with Pastor Jason Cooley. And, man, what a powerful song. I Want to Die on the Battlefield. And I'm telling you, I remember, I wasn't old enough then, but I remember hearing, Brother Lester Roloff singing that old song. He said, you know, it's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's Amen. A fight and not a game. Run if you want to, run if you will, but I came here to stay. And, I'm telling you, it's a battlefield. It's a war. It's a battle for your mind. Satan is after your mind. He's after your heart. He's after your subconscious. And that's what we're really talking about, isn't it? We're talking about our, you know, it's not so much a physical war as it is a subconscious that he wants to tap into.
Amen, brother. That's exactly right. And we need to remember the battle that we're in here. And there's some scripture that we're going to bring Brother Finney on in a few minutes, Brother Gerald Finney.
Yes.
And he's going to say a few words, but I want to read this scripture to you in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 12. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual, now listen to this, but he that is spiritual, those that are saved, that are walking in the Spirit, that are spiritual, judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ.
Mm. Very, very true, brother. Very, very
powerful,
true.
Powerful verses. Brother Finney, are you there? I'd like to have you come on right now and share with us what you have for us here this evening.
He's coming on. He'll be here in just a second. See if we can pull
All
him
right.
up. There he
can
is.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
I was just going to say I'm a member of Pastor Jason's church, and these series that he's preaching on spiritual warfare are tremendous. The sermon he preached on Wednesday night, I guess that was last night, was Hollywood Hypnosis and Mind Control. Was excellent. And if anyone who watches movies cannot take what he preached in that message and apply it as a spiritual man, either that person is not saved or that person just does not want to walk in the Spirit. They almost have to be in rebellion. Pastor Jason talked me into getting on Facebook, and I'm not good on Facebook. He's good on Facebook. He's more diplomatic, you know. When I say things on there, I usually just get the score. I'm not as young as he am. I'm 66. I don't have time for all that stuff. But some of those folks that come on there, you know, you would doubt their salvation. Because and you definitely know that they don't know how to think, even as worldly people, you know, the way they relate. But I just want to say that he has preached a whole series on this, and on my website, I have a page called Salvation and After, and under that, I have Salvation page and then After Salvation. Well, he inspired me to add a subpage to that After Salvation page called Advanced Sermons on Spiritual Warfare. I'm sure you preach on these advanced things, I think, Brother Brandon, but there are very few pastors that are doing this. And through a series of things that happened, I just had to have, you know, the Lord led me to Pastor Jason's church, but these things, I mean, Christians need to, if they haven't heard preaching on this, they need to listen to these sermons. And on that Advanced Sermons on Spiritual Warfare, I link to all of his sermons there that he's putting on sermon audio. Anyway, just God bless you all. This is a great show. That's all I had to say.
Well, brother, we appreciate you, and we appreciate the work you're doing. Those out there that may be listening don't know who you are.
He's Gerald Finney. He is a fine Christian man, number one. Number two, he is a Christian attorney. And if there was ever a friend of a local New Testament church, it is Brother Gerald Finney. And he is valiant for truth, and he will stand up for what God's word says. And let me give him your web address. Now, I'll tell you what, you do it. That way we'll make sure it's right.
It's Gerald Finney, that's spelled GeraldFinney .wordpress.com.
And your other web address?
Churchandstatelaw.com.
Amen. And I don't want to say if there's any pastors out there listening tonight, and you're yoked up in the and you're yoked up in the 501c3 501c3 IRS status, and your church is incorporated. You need to get a hold of Brother Finney and go on his website and find out what's wrong with that. And Brother Finney, we're thankful to have you on tonight, brother. It's always good to talk to you,
Graham. I've listened to everyone so far.
Well, amen. That's encouraging. Good to know somebody out there is listening. So, amen. Well, thank you, brother. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, Brother Brandon. Hey, listen, my back's getting better. It shouldn't be long for if we still need to come up there, I can do that.
Absolutely. We're counting the days. Looking forward to you being here.
God bless y'all.
God bless you, brother. Well, all right, Brother Cooley.
All right, that was a blessing, brother. Good testimony of just what the Lord is doing. And that, you know, it's a sample testimony of what I said to you earlier of what the Lord has really done. Just all of this, bringing you and I together to do a show and everything, has been during this whole time of me really studying and trying to draw closer to the Lord and understand these things of the spirit world that are going on there right now. And the necromancing of Hollywood is one of the most important things for us to get to grasp. You know, brother, I was always wondering why I could get tangled back into Hollywood all the time, where I'd get away from it, I'd get away from anything they produce and just kind of just stay away from it, and then I'd be drawn back in a little bit. And the reason why is because I didn't, listen, let me be clear here, I didn't pronounce it all according to the Word of God and judge it by the Bible as damned, because that's what it is. That's exactly what it is. It's of the devil. It is, and there's nothing righteous about it at all.
Well, that's exactly what happens. We latch on to a particular actor, or we latch on to a particular actress, and when they play a role, I believe we get so infatuated with that actor or actress that we overlook what they're doing wrong, because we like to watch them.
That's right, and that's part of the. I want to say the hypnotizing mind control aspects of it. You start seeing things. You see commercials. You know, commercials actually work better. People say, "Well, I don't pay attention to the commercials." Well, guess what? Because of the way your subconscious works, those commercials have more of an impact on you when you're not paying attention, because they seep into your subconscious and they affect you.
Mm-hmm.
All of this is by design. This is not an accident. And even Anton LaVey, the founder, or the high priest of the Church of Satan, he says that television programming was the medium. It was the way that the satanic message would get across. He said, you don't have to go to a religious service on Sunday to church. You can stay home and bow at the altar of your television and learn everything you need to know spiritually by that.
Yeah, that's absolutely true, because you're getting a message. You're absolutely getting a message, and you know, and many people sit and watch it, and they get a joyful thrill out of it, just like people come to church, and you know, and they get joy out of the message. Now, it may not be a joy, because we know joy is of the Lord, but I'm saying, they get that feeling, that pleased feeling. Yeah, absolutely. They get, you know, I've seen people just nearly wreck a car trying to get home before DVRs and things of that nature. I mean, nearly wreck a car trying to get home to not miss their program, you know.
Absolutely. And the reason why, brother, the reason for that is because television does not entice the intellect. Your brain shuts down. the time that your brain works is when you're reading a book. All of these chaotic things happen in your brain, and it causes you to critically think of what you're reading and what you're studying. When I'm on the computer and I'm on Facebook and I'm writing and I'm doing that, I'm thinking, my brain is working. When you're watching a movie, it appeals to your emotions. That's why you cry. It goes right to your heart. Mine eye affecteth my heart. It goes right to my heart. It goes past my capabilities of comprehending things, because that part of my brain sleeps after 10 minutes, and then it goes to my heart, and then I am actually taking in what I'm watching, and I'm approving it in my subconscious. I'll give you an example of that. There's a plot. Here's a plot. There's a man that starts out being a hero in a show, and then he ends up doing something wrong, and then the man is still a hero, though, and you still accept what he's done as being wrong, but you make excuses for it. Well, I know, but he had to do this. He was in a situation ethic. You see, Hollywood is no. There are no absolutes in Hollywood. It produces situation ethics to us.
Mm-hmm.
So everything in our subconscious, we have all these situation ethics that come in.
Right.
And it impacts us. It has it changes the way that we subconsciously, the way that we think. And whatsoever's in the heart, brother, cometh out. It comes out. Whatever's in there comes out, and it defiles a man by what comes out of there and by what he's allowed to put himself into there. You take, for instance, if the root is bad, brother, the fruit is bad. Here's another one, another movie star that people like to lift up, and that's Lucille Ball. She was a part of where the grandness of Hollywood was in there. Listen to this quote. When the glamorous comedian who had died in an airplane crash of 1942 appeared to Lucille Ball in 1951, it was considered very risky to leave the large screen for the small one. Because Lucille Ball accepted the spirit's urging to take a chance, honey, she made television history.
Wow. So she was Lucille Ball. Lucy was involved in seances then.
Absolutely. It says, another quote that is read from her writings, it was the spirit of actress Carol Lombard who guided Lucille Ball into taking a chance on television and accepting the offer to star in I Love Lucy.
Right. And, you know, when you think about it, I mean, what is a sitcom about? It is about, you know, you've got your character who's, you know, trying to find the right words for it. You know, everything's good and everything's pleasant, and then something goes, I mean, especially with Lucy's character, she would end up doing something very wrong, and then she would end up doing something else wrong to try to fix what she had done wrong before, and then, you know, everything gets resolved in 30 minutes.
Right. It's a situation ethic that you said, well, I would never do that. I wouldn't lie to my husband.
Well, it's called situation comedy.
Right. Why would you, if you wouldn't lie to your husband, or then why would you watch a program where somebody's lying? If you don't agree with fornication, then why would you watch a television program where somebody's fornicating? If you believe it's good for a man not to touch a woman, then why would you watch a show? Why would you entertain yourself with people that are blatantly against God, against his message, and against his book? Why would you do that?
Right. I've heard preachers say, you know, if you came home tonight after church, walked into your house, and there was a couple, you know, naked in your living room, you know, fornicating on your floor, and I hate to be graphic, but we'll just be honest, fornicating there on your couch, you would call the cops. You would say, get out of my house. You would flip out, but yet they'll sit down on the couch, get some popcorn, and let them come in through that screen.
Absolutely, brother, and that's what happened. We have compromised. Why? Well, because we've been hypnotized by it. We have been utterly brain dead hypnotized by it when we sit down and watch it. And that's why they never. A lot of the movies never rarely show a lot of wickedness right away. They usually wait a little bit of time before they do. Now, some do. Some are blatant right away. But a lot of them don't do that. And the reason why is because once you get hooked after 10 minutes, your faculties, your cognitive abilities shut down, and it doesn't matter anymore.
Well, I can tell you just from experience. I can remember watching something and, you know, 10, 15 minutes into it, realizing that it's a waste of my time
but then telling myself, well, I'm already this far into it. I might as well watch it.
Right, right. And what have we done? Well, we've allowed ourselves to be hypnotized into believing that, hey, listen, I mean, it doesn't matter. But how much time have we wasted? There's nothing wrong with having some entertainment or some fun or some there's nothing wrong with that. But the problem is when you and I decide to fill our heads up with things that we would preach against and
exactly.
that our churches stand against, what in the world are we doing? We're compromising God's holy word and a holy life for Him. We're not presenting ourselves as a holy sacrifice unto Him. We're not throwing ourselves on the altar of God and saying, have thine own way, Lord. We'll do it your way. We sing have thine own way, Lord, on Sunday, but then every other day of the week we're watching television saying, I want it my way.
You know, that reminds me of an A.W. Tozier quote where he said, Christians are the strangest liars in the world. They come to church and sing their lies.
Absolutely, brother. It's true. I mean, if we fill our heads with Hollywood all week long, their movies, brother, nothing good comes of that garbage. How can you look at every sitcom out there? Every
right.
sitcom out there is always, 90% of them belittle the father. They make him look like he's nothing. And I'm going to talk about content next week, so I'm not going to get too far into that. Or, you know, we'll have a few different discussions on it probably, but I guess we can overlap, can't we? It needs to be
sure.
talked about.
Oh, yeah.
But we see the father is just destroyed. He's feminized. America's feminized today.
All the
men are passive. If a man stands up and passionately preaches the word of God, somebody looks at him and gets mad and angry at them, or they can't take it when somebody is so strong on something that they say, listen, this is wickedness. Hollywood is wickedness. Let me ask you something. Would Jesus Christ come and sit down with you, and would he watch the average movie that's on television or the movies that are in your home out there? Listen to me. I'm not being unkind to anybody, but if you're listening to this, after this is recorded, after it goes on the Internet, let me ask you a question. Would Jesus Christ sit with you and watch the movie that you want to watch?
Yeah. Can you imagine?
Can you imagine
you going through your movies and saying, oh, Jesus, what do you think about this one? Oh, they would not open the door and pull the movies out.
Would Jesus have communion with Hollywood? Would he have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness? Or would he reprove them? I'm tired of Christianity on the fence, brother. It's killing us. Our
Amen.
Churches are dying on the vine. They are dying right now. And they're dying
right.
because we are rich and increased with goods and we have need of nothing and we don't know that we're poor and blind and naked and destitute of the power of God.
That is absolutely right, brother. You have hit the nail on the head. We have forgotten. You think about this for a second. You know, again, I talked earlier about, you know, people rushing home to watch their TV shows. I mean, now we've got DVRs, but, you know, God forbid somebody accidentally records over their program or erases, deletes their program. I mean, you talk about getting hostile, but, you know, what if some little inconvenience comes up and they can't make it to church? Do they get so bent out of shape, you know, get out of my way, I've got to get to church? Or do they, oh, well, never mind, I can take care of whatever. It doesn't matter, I'll be there next Sunday. I mean, if we looked at being in God's house, if we looked at spending time in God's Word, looked at being spending time with God in prayer and compare those things, and not only that, but spending time being used of God, to help and bless other people, to preach the gospel, to share the testimony of what Christ has done in our life. If we compare that with the time that we spend talking about movies and actors and going on and on about them, it's the time that's invested sitting in front of a... what's the average movie length? What, 2.5 hours? 2 hours?
2 hours at least, yeah.
How many? When's the last time somebody spent 2 hours in the Bible?
Amen.
When's the last time somebody sat through a two-hour church service? Now, if they were at your church or my church, it might not have been too long. But in the average church, I mean, you know, like one preacher said, you know, it didn't bother me when they shook their watch at me, but when they started waving calendars at me, that's when I started getting offended. But, you know, I mean, they're not going to sit that long. They're not going to sit for 2 hours. And I tell people all the time, you know,
when they start looking at their watch, or they start acting agitated because I've gone over an hour. Look, you'd sit and watch your TV program. You'd sit and watch that movie. Don't act like I'm keeping you here too long.
Amen, brother. People will sit and watch a sporting event or a movie, and they'll sit and watch that thing for 2 or 3 hours, hooping and hollering and cheering it up. But if the preacher goes over 10 minutes longer in a sermon or something than they think he should, which we don't have time limits in our church, but
we just
preach, brother, and when we're done preaching. You know, our church spends all of Sunday together anyway. We start out in the morning, then we have lunch, and then we have an afternoon service, and we go home. That's just how we do things. But I mean, we're there to be there. And I've told people, listen, if you're coming to leave, then you might as well not even show up, because you're going to be here a while.
Amen. We got about 2 minutes and 20 seconds, brother, if you want to sum this thing up.
Well, listen, I guess I could sum it up as this and ask you this. We'll do more on Hollywood, but let me ask you this. Do you think that what you and I do when we've watched Hollywood movies, when these people like James Dean, Marilyn Monroe, James Mansfield, Leonardo DiCaprio said he has many demons in him, Johnny Depp says he has many demons in him, all these people brag about their occultic behavior, their Satanist behavior. Gene Roddenberry hates God. He mocks God. Roseanne Barr, all these Keanu Reeves, Michael Landon, all of these people that have mocked God. Let me ask you, do you believe that it honors and glorifies God that you and I are funding this Hollywood machine? We are funding, when we fund Hollywood, when we buy these movies, we are funding the same people that are preaching an antichrist message to the world. They are preaching vampires. They are preaching devils. They are preaching fornication. They're preaching sodomy, bestiality, pornography, all manner of wickedness they're preaching. They're preaching witchcraft and Satanism and consulting familiar spirits. All of those movies out there, are that's what they're doing. That's what Hollywood produces. They are an agent of Satan. They are an agent of Satan to push a message that is against the message of this Bible. And you have to ask yourself one question. Whose side am I on? If I'm on the Lord's side, can I cast off those works of darkness? Can I walk away and walk in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ? Say, what am I going to do with my life if I don't watch movies? Hey, I got something for you. Walk outside and live real life. Go witness to people. Talk to people. Share your lives with people. Write a book. Read a book. Do something with your children. Spend time at your church. Know your neighbors. Get to know people around you. Live in reality. I'm going to do something on reality television. A sermon on reality TV is not real, because it's not. It's a bunch of garbage. But you know what? For you to get a real life now, people are sitting on television watching real life people do things. If that ain't the dumbest thing I ever heard, why don't you go out and live life?
We got to go, brother. We got to go. We'll save it for next time. This is Brother Brandon Teague, Pastor Jason Cooley. We'll see you next time.
Amen.
We're going to stack those stones, brother. Let's get out of here. We'll see you next time.